Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports. And I'm all glad to have you along for the next hour. We'll get into all kinds of stuff when Jim gets here, the draft, the playoffs, NBA playoffs, big sweep for OSU in baseball, and the Sooners could sure help the Pokes this weekend down in Fort Worth. So we'll talk about all kinds of the kind of the national slash statewide stuff with Jim. Coming up at 9:30, a local boy did well this week on the Corn Ferry Tour. We'll hit that. Also, another golf tournament of interest out here in Western Oklahoma you can sign up for starting today. Tell you which one that is. We've got soccer tonight on Big Elk TV. Recap the baseball regionals from around the state in the small schools. Still looking for brackets on the OSSA website for state tournaments and also even the regionals for the larger schools. Haven't seen those yet on the website, but I imagine that'll be coming sometime this afternoon in all of the baseball stuff. That'll be coming up this week. So it's kind of what we got on our mind. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to give us a holler. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of different ways. Log on to KADSAM.com. Download the Paragon app. The app has everything. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. As I mentioned, Big Elk TV on the air tonight. I'll tell you what time and where. And then, of course, we've got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can check it out online, KADSAM.com, or iTunes. And you do the iTunes route, you can have, you can subscribe, and then you'll be alerted when a new podcast drop each and every day. Hello, Jared.
Good morning.
Notice you got your Canute hoodie on there. Cool. Also notice that you'll probably be a braggart this morning on your daughter.
Hey. Maybe a little, well, on the entire team.
Well, go right ahead.
Well, they did good. They won the preseason tournament this weekend. Won four games. It was fun. It's fun to see them continue that success that they had in the fall. So looking forward to the rest of the rest of the season now. A lot of fun. Saw a lot of people. A lot of good games on all levels. 8U, 10U, 12U. It was a fun weekend out at the ballpark. How's your weekend?
I'm going to tell you something. I went and played Boiling Springs.
Yeah, that's right.
Saturday.
That is right.
36 holes at Boiling Springs.
How'd it go?
That place is absolutely as good as I've ever seen it. And it's not even close. Those greens are phenomenal.
I've always been complimentary of Boiling Springs.
I've never really thought they were that good. They're always pretty soft and spongy and kind of sandy feeling. They are firm. They are fast, and with the undulation that's on most of them, difficult. And I'll tell you what else they've done. If you haven't been up there in a while, they have cleared out it has to be 10,000 trees all across that property.
Yeah.
Because it's not wide open, but it's not like tunnel like it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of when you got up there, you know, 1 and 18, obviously, were right next to each other, so you could kind of see those holes, and maybe like number 8 green, number 9 green is right there. But once you got out there, you really were kind of almost claustrophobic because there were so many trees, you couldn't even see right.
Right.
Not the case. They have opened it up so much. Just,
wow.
Not necessarily, I mean, you can still hit it in spots where you're in bad shape, for sure. But for the most part, there's not very many places that you can hit it where you just don't go look, because they've just cleared. I mean, there's still, you know, it's not wide open.
Yeah.
There's still a bunch of trees around, but the understuff, I think he said it was thousands to 10,000 trees that they've removed. And I think that's a big part of why the greens are so good now because it's opened up and allowing air to flow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there. What hole was it? I think it was on number three, which, you know, you kind of lay up and then you hit it up the hill to the green. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of down in a bowl, so there was a – they still got a fan there.
Yeah, that fan was
that'll kind of help to circulate some air there. I was trying to think; there might have been one other spot that had one, but nothing like it. It used to be. Yeah. I mean, it is fantastic, and obviously with the Class 4A boys state tournament being there a week from today, those guys are in for a treat. They're also in for it can be a problem with the firmness and the quickness of those greens. Like I mentioned, they're always, you know, they've always been pretty undulated. You can get yourself in some spots where, you know, 25 feet below the hole is way better than 10 above it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can have some pretty interesting putts, interesting chips if you're not in control. So that I'm really a lot more excited about the prospects for that tournament now than I was on Monday or on Friday.
Yeah.
Just because seeing the condition of it, you know, number 10 is something we had wondered about. It was wide open. They had got everything laid sod-wise. It was ready to go. We played it was cart path only, but, you know, where we drove it to, that didn't matter. We were just walking up by the green anyhow. But everything between from tee to green, sod's laid, grass is growing. So that's not going to be an issue.
Awesome.
That we kind of seen some stuff about earlier on in the spring. So, man, it's that place, if you get a chance, go.
Yes.
It was really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Up there in Woodward. So it was a fun time. I mean, Kissling didn't play very well the first round. Played much better the second round. Won a skin. Got a little money back. So It was a lot of fun.
Paid for your gas, I guess.
That's about it. Didn't pay to get in, but paid for the gas. No, it was a cool deal that we got to be a part of in that golf course. You know, they're kind of they're starting to kind of market it as kind of the hidden gem of rural Oklahoma. It's good. There's no doubt about it. It is really, really good.
Well, good.
Even
before all that, I was always enjoyed it. You know.
Yeah, there was just times where you get up there and you know there may be sticker patch everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
You know, their stickers or the greens are slow and spongy. Not the case on either front right now.
Well,
they're
clearly getting ready for a big time.
Well, I think they've had a guy take over in the past. I think he said he'd been there 6 years, 7 years. And so he's been building toward what it is now. Jeff was his name. I can't remember his last name. They've done a yeoman's job, no doubt about it, getting that place to the shape that it is right now.
Yeah.
It is awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Great.
So,
well,
that'll
awesome.
Be fun. It'll be fun for those guys here in a week in Class 4A at the state tournament. All right, baseball regional, did you get to check any of that out, or were you over here with your softballing?
Well, Friday night, afternoon, I guess, went in the evening. I had other engagement with my youngest kid. She had a practice, but I was following along, and as far as Knute, it did not go well, clearly. Yeah, it gave up, what was it, 5 runs in the first. I mean, just piled on, and now I'm just giving an opinion. I don't know. I just feel like maybe Knute said, all right, we're playing for Saturday at some point in that game, if that makes sense, and rotated some pitchers out. And then Saturday, again, out at the ballpark pretty much all day yesterday and Saturday, but Saturday, just following along, Knute comes out. Suddenly they lead 10-1 as a custom that they've been doing all season long. And then I go and I'm coaching. I come back, check again the dugout, and all of a sudden it's 10-9. And it's a little close. Where did this come from? But credit Knute, they gutted it out. You ask their parents, of those, mainly the seniors. I guess that senior class has a nickname of cardiac kids because they've been doing this since they were kids, just, you know, making it rough on themselves. But they're in. Credit Laverne. I mean, Laverne played a heck of a series to push that if necessary game to Saturday. But so from what I understand, Knute's in, and I was told that again from what I understand is that the top seven. And you'd have to. They're in, And then Hydro. Hydro Weekly got in.
So yeah, they were number nine.
They were number nine. So, more or less, the rankings were pretty spot on. You got the top seven in. Hydro beat Wright City to get in. And I'm now unofficial, based on that, I'm told that it's Canute versus Hydro Weekly. Also told it is at Shawnee on starting on Thursday. Don't know a time. And, again, that's all unofficial. But from pretty good source, hearing that, still awaiting the bracket on that one. Have no idea what happened in Class B. Do you?
Yeah. Go Turns for out, it. Jared, I
it.
Do.
Go for it.
So the teams in the
you
class.
You are the skinny. That's why you are the skinny on sports.
That and that time I caught that foul ball with my bare hand. Remember that promo?
Oh, I remember that.
So the teams, as you mentioned, the top seven were Canute, Rattan, Red Oak, Sterling, Dewar, Pioneer, Pleasant Vale, and Tushka. And then number nine, Hydro Weekly, beat number eight, Wright City. So, yeah, it can't be not a whole bunch of griping to do about the rankings in Class A. My gosh, the coaches got it nearly spot on.
Yeah.
And when number nine beats number eight and that's your only blemish, then you were pretty right.
Yeah.
On the other side, about the same thing outside of the one up in Leedy. Roth, Fort Cobb, Broxton, Tupelo, Glencoe, Caney was able to knock off Sentinel, and if Sentinel made it to the Saturday game with two wins on Friday, just unable to be able to punch their ticket to the state tournament. Also, Sterling in Class A knocked off Hollis, as Hollis had beat them on Thursday to be in the Catbird seat, but Sterling came back, won the game, won a couple games on Friday, and then they beat Hollis 8-6 on Saturday. So the Tigers not quite able to get there. Also, Arapo Butler did the same thing. They got back to play Pioneer, but Pioneer beat them out. So you got Glencoe, you got Caney, Lakeba Sickles, Granite. Granite swept right through.
Awesome.
As they knocked off Leedy 6-5 on Friday. The Bison beat Duke to get there to the regional final game. Games for them if they'd have won. But Granite won 6-5. So the Panthers are in the state tournament. Also, Boswell rounds out that Class B state tournament. So those are the eight that'll be in the state tournament for both Class A and Class B. Still awaiting not only the brackets for those, also the brackets for 4A regional, as we're obviously going to have that this week, starting on Thursday here at Ackley Park, with Elk City, Bing, Lone Grove, and also, I'm leaving out, Mount St. Mary will be the four teams in that baseball regional. We'll have that on Big Elk TV for sure. Also, Big Elk TV tonight, hot off the press, soccer, both boys and girls soccer.
Football.
Now, do we know this for sure? Have we figured out how this is going to work? Is there going to be a tab?
I don't know. What I think the safe bet would be it'll be two streams set up on Big Elk TV.
Big Elk TV.
The other option is one game on Big Elk TV, the other game on Paragon TV. As soon as that's straightened up, we'll throw it out on.
Yeah, on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. I would assume, because it starts first, that if you're looking for Elk City Boys versus Chickasha, 6 o'clock, you'll find it on Big Elk TV.
I'd assume that, too.
I'd assume right there on the front page, you'd find the boys' game. Now, if you're looking for the girls at 7 at Bethany, there will either be a tab right there that says girls soccer,
right,
or Paragon TV. Once we get that rectified, once we get it clarified, we'll be able to tell you exactly how that's going to look. But both soccer games will be live streamed tonight, starting with the boys at Chickasha at 6, and the girls are at Bethany at 7. I know there was a bunch of track. I have to figure out how to find those results.
Okay.
Some regional track. I just saw on Facebook, it looked like Merritt did really well track-wise.
Looked like Hammond did, too.
I've got to figure out where to find those results, and once we do, I'm sure we'll have that in the morning to be able to tell you a little bit more about the state qualifiers, where they're at. I know, but I saw on the Facebook throughout the weekend that there was a bunch of good results in the track from the locals around. I think Sarah had some pretty good stuff too, so we'll find those results and be able to shoot those out to you. As we just figure out where to get that. It's not in the same spot where we can get everything else. I know that with the on that rankings page on OSSAA website, but I have a contact that can tell me how to do that. I can't believe he hadn't texted me, actually, already. Must not be listening this morning. But anyhow, so that's kind of where we're at with all the high school stuff, with soccer coming up tonight. And, man, it's a full week. And as we go along, we'll be able to tell you where we'll be, what we'll be able to bring to you on Big Elk TV, Paragon TV possibility for that soccer game tonight as well. It is a Western Oklahoma Realty Monday. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto for all your real estate needs. Give them a call, 580-225-6271. When we come back, the biggest golf tournament in Western Oklahoma is open. We'll tell you how to get there. Also, former Weatherford star, OU star, our man Quade Cummins played fantastic on the Corn Ferry Tour. We'll tell you about that as well, coming back on the Skinny on Sports.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said is, what about, we're people before property.
You have to have trust. You have to have trust with who you're working with. If you don't have trust, I don't think I'd want to work with that person. I feel like I'm a trustworthy person. I feel like our agency is a trustworthy company.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Mock! Yeah! Ing! Yeah!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Jim Traber coming up at 9:30 in the next segment to talk about all kinds of stuff across the sporting landscape. Jared?
Yes.
The calendar has flipped to May. Do you know what that means?
It's going to be May. Yeah, oh, we can.
Whoa.
Sorry, that's been on my.
Whoa. What was that?
That NSYNC song.
Was that NSYNC?
That was that Timberlake. We've all seen the meme, right?
Well, of course we have. Yeah. But we didn't just break out in song on the show.
We have done that before.
Well, that was the first time NSYNC has made it.
I
goodness gracious.
Oh, that's funny. What was I thinking? Oh, that song has been in my head, but did you know he hates that, by the way?
Hates what?
He hates that people, because he's like, I wasn't saying May. I was saying me. But he hates that. No, you can sign up for the KUCO Open.
That's exactly
it
what
it is open.
That's what May that's what May means really. Whoa. That's what May means to me, is start checking your email every hour to see if there have been more entries. And by the way,
we're looking for Tony Romo again.
I've got two already in the queue from this morning.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome. Fill up.
Really?
Fast.
You think?
Well, yes, it will fill up. It does every year, but I've been... It'll fill up fast.
Yeah, I mean, we've been having calls over the last couple of weeks. Hey, can I get in? No, not till May 1st. Well, guess what? It's May 2nd. We've already got people signing up. It is the 24th KECO Moran Equipment Open. It will be July the 9th at Elk City Golf and Country Club. Of course, we've got A, B, and C flight. We've also got the championship flight. All you got, it's a simple deal. It's a simple process that sometimes gets made unsimple because you're not following the process, okay? Does that make sense?
What a concept.
Yes. So here's how you do it. Go to KECOFM.com. Right on the front page of our website, it'll have the link. It usually has two golf balls sitting there. One says A, B, and C flight. One says championship flight. Now, it is a different price depending on which flight you want to be in. Obviously, there's a bigger prize for championship flight, but you got to be a whole bunch better to win. So you click on the golf ball. It'll take you. You fill out all the information with your team name, your players. I think we're taking sizes just in case we need those with whatever gift we decide to give. And then it takes you to pay. And here's the thing. Because there is so much interest in this golf tournament year in and year out, you are not officially in until you pay with your card. It takes you right to the thing. Put in your card. Boom. I get an email. I get an email when you register. And the first thing I do is go look and see, is there a payment? And when there is, then I shoot you an email back that says, hey, you're confirmed in whatever flight you signed up for. Here's your tee time. Championship flight is in the afternoon. A, B, and C flight has morning tee times. It also has some afternoon tee times if we can't fill up the afternoon with championship teams, which we never have. So there's normally anywhere from 12 to 16 spots available in the afternoon for A, B, and C flight teams. But that is the process. And like I said, I want to repeat this one more time. You are not in until you pay, which allows me to send you a confirmation email saying that you're in. So if you don't get one from Aaron at KECOFM.com thanking you for participating again, confirming your tee time, you don't get an email from me that says that, it's because you didn't pay. And that means you are not in. That's just that simple. We have to do it that way because there is so much interest that it's first come, first serve. And those, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. It's the way it's always been. And that's going to be the case this year. So get out there.
Think of it like this. You can't go see a movie until you pay.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You can't go to the show until you pay.
And if last year is any indication, you don't want to be hem-hawing around if you're in the A, B, and C flight.
Right.
Because, gosh, I think we were completely full with A, B, and C by the end of May last year. Like 3 weeks in, boom, done. Then the waiting list starts. And then you got to start hoping that somebody drops out. But that's how you do it. Go to KECOFM.com, sign up the 24th annual KECO Moran Equipment Open, July the 9th at Elk City Golf and Country Club. And we'll have a lot more details with that. Oh, there it is, the track. Thank you. That's how we're going to be able to get that. I could not find it. That's it. OHSTrack.com. All right, we'll have those track results ready for you tomorrow. All right, I mentioned Quade. Quade Cummins battling out on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Formerly of Weatherford.
Two-time individual state champ at Weatherford. Played at OU for 5 years. Was part of the national title team. A huge cornerstone of the last couple of years there at OU Golf.
Now let me stop you. There's a Cummins on the girls' team over there. Is that a
Chloe,
sister?
Absolutely.
Sister, awesome. Mm-hmm. So
his youngest sister.
No pressure on her. Do you think is she pretty good? I mean,
she's pretty good, but not like this. Not like him. I mean, it's a different level.
You never know.
Yeah, she's a senior. I'm telling you, she's not as good as Quade. She's good, but not like. I mean, you know, she's not going to be at OU next year playing golf. She might be at OU as a student. But she's not going to be there playing golf.
Well, I will encourage her to walk on.
Well. More power to her. Okay. She can do whatever she wants to.
Go ahead. Tell us about Quade's weekend.
He tied for fourth on the Corn Ferry Tour. His best finish as a professional vaulted him up 65 spots on the Corn Ferry Tour year-long standings from 115 to 50. I would have liked to have seen what that number would be. He bogeyed 17 to fall back into a tied for fourth. At that point, he was solo third. Make a par there would have finished him tied third. I just wonder how many extra spots he'd have moved up with a par there on 17. But an outstanding week for Quade. He shot 68, 64, 68, and then 71 yesterday. The scores were way higher yesterday than they had been throughout the week. Really, the only good scorers came from guys that played a little bit earlier that vaulted up the leaderboard with low rounds. But once it got into the leaders teeing off, there really weren't very many good scores. One or two under was about as good as anybody did in the last, I don't know, 10 groups maybe or so. That obviously either conditions or, you know, guys that hadn't been there. I know Quade hadn't really been in contention yet on the Corn Ferry Tour. He started out third, ended up tied for fourth after a final round 71. But a fantastic week, something he needed. If it's like the tour, then that top 10 gets him into the next week without having to do anything just from that finish. You would think a top 5 would do that on that Corn Ferry Tour. I'm not sure exactly how those rules work. But congratulations to Quade Cummins on a great week, tying for fourth on the Corn Ferry Tour. And now he's in the top – he's right at number 50. Got to be in the top 25 to get your tour card at the end of the season. Then, of course, there's the Tour Championship and all that on the Corn Ferry that gives you another shot. But
so this past weekend,
it was huge.
Yeah, huge. That could be the turning point, the cornerstone of his career. Everyone looks back to that weekend and in April.
Yeah, and I was wondering how he was going to do Saturday. He got off to a bumpy start because he'd never really kind of been there, but he turned it around, ended up shooting two under, and that kind of solidified himself for being able to have a a pretty good finish, and he did.
That's great.
Ended up one over yesterday, but still tied for four. So great week for Quade Cummins on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Awesome.
Awesome stuff. Very awesome stuff.
We'll follow that one closely.
You bet. All right, Jim, coming up next, NFL Draft, NBA Playoffs, Big 12 Baseball, maybe even get into the portal, college basketball. Is OU Hoops in trouble? Are they kind of the feeder program for the big dogs? I don't know. We'll ask Jim next.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said, what about, were people before property?
Well, it means that you put the person that you're working with or the family that you're working with, you put their interests first. You make sure that you find the right property for them at the price that they can afford, and make sure that you take good care of them through the process.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, joined now by the voice you're going to hear at 2 o'clock right here on these airwaves. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, man. You guys getting rain out there?
We finally did. Got a little rain. Woke my son up with the thunder and lightning just a little bit after midnight, 1 o'clock or so. Yeah. And it kind of scared him. He wasn't used to hearing that as he normally is, yeah. but everybody got settled down. Looked like around a quarter of an inch, depending on where you were, but much, much needed for sure out here where we've been dry. What about you guys?
We finally got a little bit. We've had a tough man. All the rain has been like kind of down south a little bit more. So up here in Edmond, we haven't really got a lot, but we got some overnight, so that helps. My rose bushes are looking pretty good, so that makes me happy.
Yeah, we planted some onions a week or so, 2 weeks ago. When they needed
You're growing some. Onions?
Well, we'll grow onions, peppers, and tomatoes is what we'll do.
My gosh. You are really countrified,
aren't you? Well, that's just kind of in a flower bed. My father-in-law has, behind his house, he's got a bunch of land. He probably has, gosh, a two-acre garden, maybe? I don't know.
Wow. That's crazy.
He puts down plastic to keep the... like the weeds grow from growing in between the tomato plants or whatever plants it is. It's about the plastic rows are about 35 yards long.
Jeez.
Oh, it's a
that's crazy.
It's a chore. It's a good thing he retired. That way he has plenty of time to take care of the garden.
But you're the one that still goes out there and helps him.
We help a little bit.
Pick them and everything.
A couple years
ago. Well, you got to suck up to your father-in-law.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A couple years ago.
Matter of fact, this weekend we had a 80th birthday party for my father.
Wow.
80 years old.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. That is awesome.
And, you know, our podcast today is on, like, bucket lists and stuff, and we asked him, you know, started thinking about it. You're 80 years old, man. You know, you're not, probably not going to be around much longer. And so we asked him, is there anything on your bucket list? And he goes, no. He goes, I've done pretty much everything I want to do. So I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I don't know. Do you guys have anything on your bucket list that's, like, something that's, like, you've always wanted to do?
Masters. For me.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
I mean, that's...
Jared, what about you, man?
I've always been infatuated with Notre Dame football in the stadium and in walking through the campus. If we're talking sports bucket list, we've had this conversation on this show about this, but that's one of my top ones. I'm not even a Notre Dame fan. I just like tradition and stuff like that.
Sure.
I'd love to check out their campus, and check out a game there, all of that.
As a little Catholic boy a long, long time ago, I went when that was one of my six visits. I went to Notre Dame, and it was pretty impressive, man. Pretty impressive to walk around. And I'm not a Notre Dame fan; never have been. But I told you that story. I've told it on my air, but I went to that trip on Notre Dame, and I came back, and next weekend in church, we're standing up and singing at the beginning, and the priest he walks all the way down the daggone aisle, and my mom and my dad and everybody was sitting there, and he walks up to me while we're singing and goes, son, I was your trip to Notre Dame. And I was like, very good. Very good, thank you. He goes, it would be a great place for you to go play. He said, I know, thank you. And then he walked back up and did his service. So. That's how you people around here don't understand what Notre Dame is to the East Coast Catholics, man. It is massive. But I was never really a Notre Dame fan, but it really was cool to go see it. Jared, you should go, man. It is a really cool place to go to.
When OU went there, what was that, 2013,
I'd say. There was a couple of guys from out here that I know that went, and they were just blown away.
I was really planning on it, and then my wife decided to give birth to our second child. So I was in the hospital holding my baby watching that game. So I didn't go to that one, but one day I think I will.
You don't hold it against the little one now.
Oh, no. I was blessed with a beautiful baby girl that day, so I was okay with it.
Beautiful. Very good. Well, it is NBA playoffs. Everything's going. Everything's exciting. I'm ready to go.
Aaron's going crazy about Tiger Woods visiting Tulsa.
Of course, I know it, man. I thought of Aaron. I thought of you, Skinny, when that when he was up there. I was wondering if Skinny drove all the way up there and sat and got in a tree and started looking at it.
I was actually kind of hanging out of the chopper from Channel 6 in Tulsa, one holding onto the camera, watching him on the putting green.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Is there anybody, maybe Tiger for you, but is there anybody that you guys would go and, like, climb a tree to look at? The guy brought up the old story of, well, there's Matt Ravis that brought up the story of Zacchaeus, you know, in the Bible.
Yeah.
He got up in a tree to look at Jesus. And I said, that's the problem. There's people out there that think that Tiger Woods is close to Jesus. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's not me, but I sure hope he makes the cut, because I'm going to be there on Saturday at Tulsa.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm hoping that he makes the cut, and it'll be, you know, I was there in 2001, I guess, at the U.S. Open when he was, gosh, what was he, coming off the Tiger Slam? Yeah, he had just won the Masters in 01 to finish that off. I mean, that was nuts. You just couldn't mess with him. If you didn't watch him hit balls on the range, once he got out on the golf course, it was like the whole property was moving every time he hit a shot. It was nuts. And then it started raining. A big old storm blew through there Thursday afternoon, and it stopped the play. And then we were there Wednesday and Thursday that year. But I don't. It'll probably be similar.
Yeah, I hope he does play. I mean, it'd be great for the state, great for Southern Hills. I don't know how good he's going to be. We'll see. I mean, obviously he really fought through at the Masters, but as you guys saw, man, the last day he was hurting really bad. Now it's been a little bit over a month, so that'll be. You know, that should help that he's getting better. But I don't know, man. He's one of those dudes, man, that he'll compete no matter what. You wake him up in the middle of the night and say, dude, I'll play you for $1,000. He'd probably get out of bed, you know. So he's very competitive, but I don't know, man. He says he thinks he can win. I just don't think he can. But I'm not going to make any bets on it, by the way. I won't bet against him.
You know, you guys talked about chronic pain a little bit in your last podcast. And,
yeah.
And, you know, going into the Masters, you didn't really know anything about how he felt or whatever. And then Jack kind of let the genie out of the bottle a little bit last week or the week before when he said he was talking to Tiger that Tuesday at the champions dinner, kind of asking him, you know, how you feel? Why did you decide now? And Tiger said, well, they told me I really couldn't hurt myself worse, and I'm always going to hurt. So why waste a year? You know, you deal with pain on a daily basis. Is it just simply a matter of some days you feel better and some days you don't?
It's exactly what it is. I mean, I tell people that if my pain, you know, they always go to the doctor, what's your pain level? You know, if my pain level is at 5, I'm happy. Okay, think about that. If my pain level is at 5, like when I hurt my back a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I went into the doctor and he said, what's your pain level at? I said, 15. Okay, that's where it was, because 10 is not the maximum that you can feel. But yeah, certain days, certain things. You know, yesterday I was feeling pretty good, and I went out and did some work on the swimming pool and stuff like that. But then there's other days where I don't want to move. So he's going to have a tough life the rest of his life. It's just the way it is. And he really didn't even play like a contact sport, but he's had so many surgeries at back and everything. And that leg is just going to, you know, fellas, I know when it's going to rain before it's going to rain. You know? I mean, you talk to them old farmers, they'll tell you that, because of the pain that comes out the minute the rain starts coming. So, yeah, he's going to have a tough life. There's no doubt about it. Tough life. But he can also go down as one of the best golfers of all time, so it's been a good life for him.
Yeah, and if there's anybody that can deal, you know, it's seemingly, if there's anybody that can deal with pain and play through it, it's been him in his career. Let's talk about the draft a little bit. We're hanging out with Jim Traber here on the Skinny on Sports. What did you think of your Steelers and how they did?
Well, me being the novice that I am, although acting like a pro, I would have taken Willis. But, you know, I think it's really unfair. I've been hearing people this morning, especially some idiot Skip Bayless, who still thinks that Baker Mayfield is going to be a superstar. They're talking like the Steelers took this kid because he's from Pittsburgh and they're right next door to each other. I'm sure that some of that has, you know, the familiarity of it, that they know about him and know him. For people that don't know, they built this unbelievable place up in Pittsburgh. The Steelers, I think, built it. Pittsburgh, I think, gave them a little money, but the Steelers put this unbelievable practice facility where they're attached to each other, basically. So they get this one big building, and the Steelers are in there, and so is the University of Pittsburgh football. And then there's, like, I don't know, 10 fields, you know, five for each of them that they can use. And so they know all about him. But I really think it's unfair, people talking about, like, that's the reason why they got him. This is one, I mean, I'm sorry, man, but this is one of the best organizations in the history of football. It might be the best. They're the best, one of the best drafting organizations. I mean, if they think that Pickett is the best quarterback, then that's who they picked. I can't imagine that anybody out there thinks that if they thought that Willis was the best quarterback, that they would draft the second best guy because he's right there in Pittsburgh. I mean, seriously, what fantasy land do these people live in? I think they just like to rip on the Steelers. Having said that, it is really interesting to me that Willis went all the way to the third round, right? So it seems as if everybody in the NFL didn't buy into the hype. If he would have gone like two picks later, then I would have been like, huh, that's interesting. But he went to the third round. Here's the other thing. We'll see how good Pickett is eventually. And if the guy's not any good, then it was a bad pick. Unless none of the other quarterbacks are any good either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the key. Maybe just none of them were good and the Steelers had to pick. You know, the Steelers, everybody says the Steelers should have taken somebody that could help them. I don't know if you look at the roster of the Steelers, but it's pretty daggone good. They went to the playoffs last year with the worst quarterback play in the league. Here's the other thing. The Steelers redid their entire offensive line this offseason. It went out and got free agents. They did a bunch of things. So, if you notice, the Steelers didn't even draft a daggone offensive line. That's how good they feel that they're going to be better at offensive line. I love the wide receiver from Georgia, Pickens. Mm-hmm. I think he's awesome. The Steelers are the best there is at drafting second and third and fourth round wide receivers. I think he's going to be incredible. So, I like what they did, but again, I would have taken Willis. I'm sure maybe you guys would have too, but we'll see. Maybe, you know, 5 years from now, if Pickett's another Ben Roethlisberger, well, then people need to shut up about it. I mean, I remember the draft when Roethlisberger got drafted. People were like, who? Miami of Ohio? I mean, he's a big kid, but is that, because they drafted him, I think, at number 10, I think it was. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it's any good. I'm sure the negative people will be there if he turns out to be a bust, and then no one will say a word except me if he turns out to be good.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it was the opposite of most drafts to me, that usually you see quarterbacks shooting up the board, and they shouldn't. It almost felt like they were falling down more than they should have this year, and I just wonder whether it be Pickett or Willis, if the Steelers don't make that pick in the first round, where do you think the first guy would have went? Would somebody have kind of bit the bullet and got back into the later part of the first round to draft one of whichever guy they liked? Or do you think they were all kind of falling down to second or third round if Pittsburgh wouldn't have made that pick there?
And that's a great question. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe there was another team that loved Pickett too.
Right.
You know, and if he went by the Steelers, they might have been, oh, man, we got to get up there and get him. I don't know the answer. I know that when he measured hands-wise, everybody freaked out how small his hands were. And he has a little bit in college. But I got no idea. You guys know this and listen to my show. I liked Trubisky for years. This is not because he's now a Steeler. I like Trubisky. Do I think he's a superstar? No, but I think he's a good football player. I think the Bears were a fiasco. And he had a winning record with the Bears. And I think he went up there to Buffalo. I love the McDermott dude. Obviously, I love Josh Allen. So hopefully a year under them, he learned. And I think he'll come down and play good football. But, ladies and gentlemen, listen closely. The number one thing is I sat there in my chair and heard with the 20th pick in the 2022 draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select whatever his name is, Pickett. And the number one thing was I said to myself, no Baker Mayfield. That was the number one thing. The minute they picked him, I knew the Steelers were not going to bring in Baker Mayfield. Oh, and by the way, it seems like nobody wants Baker Mayfield. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
But back to my final question about the Steelers in the quarterback situation. You mentioned Trubisky. You think he's going to be starter on week one, or you think it's Pickett? And kind of a follow-up, what happens with Mason Rudolph? Is he on the trade block?
Well, I definitely think Trubisky's going to start. I don't think – I mean, unless Pickett just goes in there and wows the heck out of him. I can't – you know, it'd be crazy to believe that early. But, yeah, I know. I think Trubisky's going to start. Look, the Steelers don't have rebuilding years, fellas. They don't. I mean, do I wish that next year somehow they could get up and get one of those other quarterbacks? I do, but I'm just telling you, the Steelers don't rebuild. They're going to try to win this year. And unless Pickett is really, really ready, Trubisky will be the guy. So, as far as Mason Rudolph's concerned, look, unfortunately for him, he's going to be, him and that Dobbs kid. I think Dobbs is gone for sure. But I think that Mason Rudolph, I don't know if there's really a, quote, trade situation. They might be able to get, like, a sixth-round pick for him or something, which would be really funny because you can't even get a sixth-round pick for Baker Mayfield. But I doubt. Unfortunately, this could be close to the end for Mason Rudolph. What's he been there now, 5 years? Is that right?
Yeah, 2018 draft, yeah.
So he's had a great career, man. I mean, if you can play 4 or 5 years in the NFL and make some money, that's a tremendous career. Now, hopefully, someone else will pick him up because he's a really good backup. But I don't know. Heck, they might keep him on the practice squad. I don't know. They may want him as a backup, and they may put Pickett every week for a while where he's not eligible. You know, maybe they keep him. My grandson is yelling around. He just came in the house and he's yelling. So anyway, I don't know what's going to happen with Mason Rudolph. He may have a couple more years in the league, but more power to the guy, man. He's done a good job for himself. He's just not a starting quarterback in the league, guys. He's just not.
Around the league, who did you like? It felt to me as a Cowboys fan like the Eagles and the Giants both may have gotten a lot better. What did you think of some of the other draft classes around the league?
As a Cowboys fan, you're exactly right. They're chasing you down. The window for the Cowboys is now, and at least last year and this year, and the other teams realize that they got to come after them. So it's a really, it was a really good draft. I thought that the Jets had a great draft. Mm-hmm. I thought the Giants had a great draft. They're all talking like the Ravens had a good draft. I guess they did. I mean, if Ajabo is as good as he was before the injury, then I think that's a great pick. Obviously, I think Baltimore had a really good draft. They always do. They're a good drafting organization. I don't know why they took Kolar. I mean, he's just going to sit on the bench and watch Mark Andrews, I guess. I'm going to tell you right now, fellas, the team that I think had a good draft and I think were good, they were posturing to be good this coming year. And when I go to Vegas in June, I'm going to bet on them. It's my team. Last year it was the Rams. My team this year is the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I think the Colts are going to be really, really good. And let me tell you, they'd have been a playoff contender. They'd have had a chance last year if it would have been for Wentz stinking it up, who, by the way, I was dead wrong on. But, Matt Ryan is what he is, guys. He can throw the ball, and he's smart, and he does what he wants, and I think they're talented all over, and I think they had a really good draft. So, Giants, Jets. Philly did some nice things. I thought that the Ravens were good, and I thought that the Colts were good. Bill Belichick is becoming Bobby Beathard. He thinks he's smarter than everybody else. But, hey, if he's the best coach of all time, take who you want. I mean, I'm not going to get on to you, but they really reached in the first round. And we'll see about the Tulsa kid for your Cowboys. They say he's one of the meanest dudes, but he had, like, the most penalties in the country, which fits in perfectly, but you're on discipline squad.
That's exactly right. And as soon as they made the pick and they flashed that up, 12 penalties in 12 games, I thought we got rid of Connor Williams, but it turns out replaced him with a draft pick. What did you make of, you mentioned Baltimore, but also Tennessee, what did you make of those trades on Thursday? Was it just a matter of the two teams that made the trades liking the receivers but not wanting to pay them that much money because they didn't quite like them that much? Or was there something else at play?
I think we're going to see this a lot now, guys. Look at all the great wide receivers that have been traded lately, right? Adams and these two guys, although I'm not ready to say Marquise Brown's great, but he's a really good player. Who was the other one that got traded? Well, last year it was the kid who went to Arizona.
Yeah,
right?
Hopkins.
Houston.
Yeah.
Hopkins. Yeah, Hopkins. Because, you know why? Because there's so many great young wide receivers. I mean, would you want to pay a guy $15, $18, $20 million a year? Or would you rather bring in a rookie that maybe is barely a step down? I just think these receivers now, guys, are so good. And so, I don't know. I think what happened about 10, 15 years ago, when you had all those kind of diva wide receivers, you know, I think young kids were like, I want to be that. Because wide receiver is amazing right now. And I can see it. Look at the Steelers. The Steelers let Juju Smith-Schuster go, and what'd they do? They went out and got Pickett. We'll see how good he is, but I think he's got a chance to be really good.
I mean, it felt like Tennessee literally replaced A.J. Brown with the same dude, the Treylon Burks from Arkansas. I mean, it just as soon as you heard about that pick on Thursday, you're like, oh, they're going to draft Treylon Burks. He does exactly the same thing for, gosh, if Brown's making $25 million, Burks will make $2 million, and then you can fill out the rest of your roster a totally different way.
Yeah, and it's not baseball, fellas. There's a daggone salary cap.
Right.
You got to figure out how to do it. And my grandson agrees with me on that. Seriously, you're right. So I think we're going to keep seeing this. I really do. When these wide receivers come up to get that big contract, I think you're going to get them traded.
Yeah, if it's not Justin Jefferson or Chase or one of those main top-of-the-line guys, I think you're exactly right because they can just fill right back in. What about the in-state guys? Was there a certain guy that got picked or maybe even signed after as an undrafted free agent that you really liked kind of where he went and the situation he steps into?
Yeah, Malcolm Rodriguez. I mean, I think that the coach there in Detroit's got that same kind of attitude that he plays with. I think it's absurd that he went all the way to the sixth round. I'm sorry. It's just a shame. He reminds me a lot. I've got to say this to you. He reminds me a lot of me. I mean, I went to 21st round, fellas. When I went to spring training, what we called spring training, you know, when you get drafted and you all go to wherever it was. It was in Bluefield, West Virginia, which was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe I was there. But, fellas, there were dudes that they drafted, the Orioles had drafted ahead of me, that could barely hold a bat, okay? I mean, from, like, high school and stuff like that. There were a couple kids that were gone in a month. They got drafted in a month ahead of me, and then they were gone in a month. So I just think that this sometimes, if you don't have what really looks good, I've talked about this a lot of times on the radio. If a scout drafts Jim Traver, and he, you know, kind of higher than maybe some people think or whatever, and he doesn't work out, the scout's going to be in trouble. But if the scout drafts some, you know, Greek god body who can run and do all these other things, and he doesn't work out, he just says, hey, everybody loved the kid. Look at him. Look at what he's going to do. And I think that's true in football some, too. It was a chance to take him. And I think Malcolm Rodriguez, maybe I'll be wrong, but I think Malcolm Rodriguez will be in the NFL for a while. Now, is he going to be a superstar? No. But I'll bet he's better than a sixth-round pick. You know, I was interested. I thought Bonito, was probably the best player, and he went where he should, and then Winfrey dropped a little bit longer than I think people thought he would. I didn't look at all the different free agents. I saw that some of them went and stuff, but I can't remember where all of them went. I just know that OU and OSU's got to get better players. It's that simple. I mean, when you don't – the Big 12 doesn't have one player in the first round. That's just embarrassing. I brought up last week Tulsa's had more players drafted in the first round than both OU and OSU combined in the last couple of years. I mean, there's some crazy stats, but they got to get OU's got to get better players, and so does OSU.
Yeah, and
it's really that simple.
And Texas.
I mean,
well, who cares about them? Texas is a joke. We all know they're a joke, but guess what? They're going to be great this year. Mark it down. They're going to be great.
They're always good in February and March, and then September rolls around. NBA playoffs. Last night or yesterday, the second round got underway. Did we just forget about Giannis and the Bucks? Can they sustain without Middleton the level of play that they had against Boston in a Game 1 win?
It'll be crazy if they do. I mean, I'll bow down. I thought they were going to miss Middleton. Middleton hits big shots. But I will say this. Giannis played a bad – he didn't play a very good game. I mean, I know that sounds crazy. Remember we talked about triple doubles? That's a perfect example of a triple double that was, I mean, I'm not going to say it was a horrible game, but he couldn't make any shots, and he ends up doing everything he possibly can to win the game. So he's amazing, man. He really is. I'll tell you, the guy that no one wants to talk about is Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen has just been a huge, huge part of this, you know, run without Middleton.
So if Grayson Allen keeps playing like that,
you've got another dude who can really score. So, yeah, Minnesota's good, man.
Milwaukee's good. And then I think the other series is going to be great too, man. Miami, I can't wait to watch Miami because I love the way Miami plays. So that's going to be a great playoff so far. That was a tremendous game last night.
What did you think about Draymond getting kicked out? We had a question for you on the text line about how he would have fit in back in the 80s with the Bad Boys Pistons and playing against those guys. I thought it was pretty soft to kick him out of the game yesterday, but it's Draymond Green, and that probably goes with the territory.
And the league is soft.
Yep.
I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, if you by mistake hit somebody in the face, it is a flagrant one no matter what. Is that unbelievable?
I mean, to me, that's just crazy.
And then I guess the definition of flagrant two is intent, right? I don't think, listen, he grabbed his jersey, whatever. I mean, if they want to call that, that's fine.
I'm sure the reputation had a little bit to do with it. But unfortunately, guys, according to the rules that we play under now, I think it probably deserved what it got. I mean, see, that's the problem. You look at what's happening in front of you and you think, that shouldn't be, but according to the rules, that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy to me, but I think there's a chance that he should be thrown out. He should have been thrown out of the game.
Outside of that game, it felt like to me, and I'm saying all this because I think the Grizzlies, they're one of my dark horse teams. That this series, do you think that it is going to be one of those classic series, seven games back and forth, thrown punches? It has a feel like that after just one game.
Now, Skinny, will you tell this guy sitting there next to you that picking the second pick, the second seed, is not a big dark horse? Just let him know that.
Well, you got your defending champs, Bucks. You got Golden State.
You're number two seed, and you're calling a dark horse.
Nobody's picking them. Nobody is looking for them. Everyone is picking about three or four teams before Memphis.
I'm not picking them either, and they're young, and usually young teams, you know, have to build up. But I'm just telling you, if you're the number two seed, you're probably not a dark horse. I'm just messing with you, Jerry. I thought that was a great game. I think you're going to beat on each other. This is going to be a great series, man. It really is. And that Poole kid is becoming a superstar right in front of our eyes. So, yeah, I love this series. I love it because they're going to run up down the floor and they're going to be fast. And, hey, let me ask you a question. Is that game a little bit different that you watched last night than, let's say, an OU-OSU game on a Saturday afternoon? What do you think? A little bit different?
A little bit.
It would have taken OSU and OU playing each other three games to score as many points as those guys did.
I know it. Yeah, I loved it. I think that's going to be a tremendous series, too. But Memphis blew that game, fellas. They should have won that game. You can't lose that game at home. They had it, and they blew it, so.
They better win game. They better win game two, or we're not going to get to see much of it. Because I'm afraid going back to Golden State, that's going to be rough.
You're right, man. Golden State, man. That was you let them get ahead of you. They're going to be tough, man. They're a good front runner.
What about OSU going down to Austin, sweeping Texas? What a great weekend for the Pokes! And now this weekend, their old buddies down the street in Norman can help them out if they can take two out of three against TCU in Fort Worth.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you something, fellas. That series this weekend reminded me of old OSU baseball, man. It really did. With the big fella going massive bombs and then getting down by a bunch of runs and games. You know, let me tell you, the hardest thing in the world is to complete a sweep, fellas. You know why? Because you want to get on the daggone in the daggone bands and go home. I mean, I'm just telling you. If you win game one and game two on the road, it is hard to win game three against a good team because you want to go home, and they get down 7-0. And I'm thinking, I don't know about you guys, but I'm thinking it's over. I mean, you know, they're okay, two out of three, great. And they come back and win that thing, that is a great sweep. I'm excited to see what happens down the road here. They got Tech, it's going to be a great series up in Stillwater. And then, yeah, maybe OU can help out and beat TCU this weekend. That'd be really good. So great sweep by the OSU Cowboys.
Yeah, and I think you've talked all year long about having to win the midweek games and at least two of three. You know, those that type of win yesterday, it doesn't matter how they did it as far as the end result, but getting that win, that's things that can separate you into having to go on the road for Supers or being able to host Super Regionals down the road.
Well, they have to fall apart now probably not to be a national seed.
Right.
So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're number one or you're number eight. I mean, I guess it does a little bit because if you're eight, you play nine, and if you're number one, you play 16, and there might be a little difference. But the number one thing for OSU is every single year they have that stadium up there, they need home field. And it'll be packed and rocking. I played in a region with OSU a long time ago, fellas, and it was packed, and it helps. So, I just love what they're all about right now. I really do. I love that OSU baseball. OSU baseball for a few years got a little soft. It did. And I want it to be hard. I want OSU baseball to be, here it is, we're going to stick it in your face. And that's what they did this weekend. So I love the attitude that they have. And people may not like it. You know, you want to know why people didn't like what we used to do back then? Because we beat everybody.
That's right. That's exactly
right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why. Because they didn't like us because we beat everybody. So, people, they can talk all you want about their they can talk to your face, they can talk behind your back, whatever they want, but just beat people, and that's what they did. So I'm really excited about it, man. I'm really excited about OSU baseball.
Final question from me. Could this series – I'm switching to softball here. We got Bedlam, softball, and Norman coming up at the end of this week. Biggest series in a long time between these two schools. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I think it's big for OSU. I don't think it's that big for OU. I mean, OU is what we know they are. I mean, OSU got to prove to themselves that they can beat OU. Nobody else can. OSU is obviously the clear number two team in the league. So, you know, it's all well and good, fellas, to be number two. But if you're number two and number one is light years ahead of you, it doesn't do any good. You know, so OSU's got to try to figure out a way to beat them. And if they can do that and gain some confidence, then who knows what can happen when they get, hopefully both get to Oklahoma City. But, yeah, it's exciting that OU and OSU are top. I didn't see what OSU's ranked right now. But that's going to be that'll be fun to watch, a great series to watch.
Yeah, but what's
really cool is that OSU baseball plays Southeast Missouri or something. So it'll be all on OSU softball.
Yeah, we're gonna try to go up and watch that Saturday game at Obrate with my son. He's been dying to get up there, and we finally have maybe a night to be able to do it. By the way, speaking of the Bedlam softball, just announced that Thursday night game, ESPN at 7 o'clock for
wow.
Bedlam softball.
That's really cool. That'll be fun.
Well, Jim, man.
I don't watch much softball, but I'll be watching it.
It's going to be a blast, and, you know, With the two golf teams, the men's golf being so good, the softball being so good, middle of June might be a heck of a lot of fun around these parts with the possibility of Bedlam for national titles. We had it last year. It didn't quite work out. Maybe we'll get one of those this year, either on the golf course or on the softball field, and especially softball being in Oklahoma City. That'd be an absolute blast.
That'd be awesome.
If that could happen. And, man, thanks so much for joining us here on a Monday. You mentioned bucket list stuff on the podcast. What else you got coming up on the podcast and then this afternoon on your show?
Yeah, the podcast. I mean, it's a really, really good one. Like I said, we talk a lot about bucket lists and what you want to do with your life, you know? I mean, you want to sit around. I mean, when you're 80 years old, like my father-in-law, it'd be really nice to say I've done everything I want to do. But if you're 80 years old and you think, gosh, question I asked on the podcast, so I'll post you real quick. Would you want to know when you're going to die, or do you want to know the way it is now? What would you want?
I would rather not know.
Yeah.
Because then...
Me too. Julie wants to know. I can't imagine if it says August 11th, 2027... Are you, the week leading up to it, you're not going to sleep a wink. What are you going to do? You know you're getting ready to die.
I'd be afraid I wouldn't sleep starting now, if you know when the date is. Yeah.
Well, I guess Julie says that you can get everything done that you want to get done. So I guess that's good. But we talk about that on the podcast, too. The Julie's been favorite podcast.
No. All right, man. Hey, thanks so much. Have a great show this afternoon.
All right, fellas, thanks. See
you. See you later. That is the Ultimate Jim Traber joining us, as he does each and every Monday. Good stuff. Bedlam, Man, there's a lot of good stuff coming up this week. A lot of good stuff coming up on the high school rinks as well. We'll have soccer tonight, Big Elk TV for the Elks and Chickasha, the Elkettes, and the Bethany Lady Broncos. The Elks will start at 6. Elk City Bethany girls start at 7. BigElkTV.com will have it live streamed. Man, good stuff.
Very good.
Felt like we were in here for about 20 minutes today.
I know. Monday's fun.
Always does on a Monday, but even more so this Monday. Just so much to talk about.
There is. And we're just beginning. Kind of a busy week.
Oh, yeah. Just getting going. We'll have the track results tomorrow. Tell you about soccer. Look forward to the rest of the week in high school sports as well. It's been the Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered over.